they're just so, you just love being around them. They have that demonic anointing, okay? See, if you think the devil is ugly, you're wrong. He was one of the most beautiful of God's creation. Are you listening to me? We must be wise in this generation that is falling apart, loved one.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone, and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Cost of Tolerance, from his continuing study in the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians. Now, here's Pastor.
But I wanted to be exalted above the throne. I got kicked out. Here I am. And I'm the devil. I'm getting ready to destroy mankind because I can, because you're going to believe a lie. Did he do that? No. No, loved one, listen to me. He entered human history disguised, and he is going to every attack that you have in your life. He's not going to come up and say, hey, I'm Mr. Devil. Get ready. I'm going to destroy your family, your children, your finances, everything. You know, because you don't know the word of God. You don't even know who I am. I'm disguised. You can't even tell. He doesn't do that. He comes up to you and he says, and you go, that doesn't seem bad at all. That seems pretty good. And if you don't know God's word, how can you come against that? Are you listening to me? Oh, loved one, listen. He made it. He was successful. He is a master of disguise. He's a master of things appearing as light. And he'll do anything to deceive the believer. He hates the believer. And inside of that wicked one, he's a Abaddon. He's the destroyer. He's the wicked one. He's Apollyon. He's the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's who we're dealing with, and he's a defeated enemy in Jesus' name. Loved one, listen, therefore, look what Paul says. It is no great thing if, and these two words, look at these two words, his ministers, Satan's ministers. Also, what do? Well, they transform, they disguise, they masquerade, they transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Now, that's not the righteousness that brings, meaning you're in right standing with God. That's a false, wicked righteousness. He said, oh, as ministers of righteousness, and look at their end, their final judgment, whose end will be according to their what? Works. Works, that's in all the judgment. They're going to end up just like their master. They're going to be burning in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now listen to me. Does Paul practice tolerance? Did he? Wait a minute. He says, what was that? He says, you're of Satan. What was that? Come on. Is that tolerance? He calls these false people, these false apostles, these false teachers. He says, you are Satan's servants. He didn't practice tolerance. He knew what that kind of tolerance would cost him. Are you listening to me? Did Jesus practice tolerance? Whenever the Jews came to him, the religious leaders of the day, he said, he spoke unto them. He says, oh, I know who you are. You're of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. John 8:44. And then he goes and says, for you're your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. You want to kill me. You want to kill me. You're going to put me on the cross. The people that are supposed to be representing God. Yeah. Did Jesus practice tolerance? He said, no. The devil's the father of every lie. Listen to me. He is the father of every false religion in the world. Do you hear me? From every generation, he's still creating false religions. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. The truth does not abide in him. He loves sin. He can't exist without darkness and sin. That's who we are dealing with. He says, oh, listen, no, these ministers, they transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, but they aren't. It's like the devil himself standing in the pulpit. Now, listen, what we must ask ourselves right here then, okay, what is the purpose behind the devil doing all of this, trying to enter into the church, trying to deceive and so forth? Let's look here at the cost of tolerance, beginning in verse 16. He says, I say again, let no one think of me as a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may also boast a little. Now watch. What I speak not according to the Lord, but, as it were, foolishly. In other words, bear with me a little bit. In the confidence of boasting, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. Now, look at verse 19. For you put up with fools gladly. What does the word again put up with mean? Tolerate. You tolerate. He says, for you put up with, you tolerate fools gladly. Who are the fools? Not Paul, but these wicked false teachers. Since you yourselves are wise. In other words, the Corinthians, you're so smart. You're so wise. You know all the gifts of the Spirit, all the things that are happening that in your church. Oh, yeah, you've got it going. He says, for you, here it comes. For you put up with it. Tolerance, in other words. For you put up with it. If one brings you into bondage, you put up with it. If one devours you, you put up with it. You tolerate it. If one takes from you, you tolerate it. If one exalts himself, you tolerate it. If one strikes you on the face, to our shame, I say to you, when we were too weak for that, we could never treat you like that. We love you. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Christian, listen to me now. The cost of tolerance is right there. You don't know God's word. You don't meditate upon God's word. You know, when I have Christians, I went over to this thing. I said, why would you go over there and listen to that junk? That's not true. Yeah, but I just wanted to find you. What? Why would you want to join yourself to that? I won't even let people come into my house who knock on my door. Is that biblical? Yes, third job. Don't even let them come into your home. You speak the truth in love, of course. Oh, man, the cost of tolerance. Man, this horrible abuse. That's what false teachers do. Why? They are like their father, the devil, who hates you. And that's what's happening right here. See, that's what false teaching produces. Number one, it produces bondage. You know what that means? It means to be enslaved again. I mean, put in chains all over again. And what's horrible? To be enslaved to an imposter. Someone who's not even from heaven or it has God in their heart, but yet they're eloquent. They're charismatic. They're so smooth. And, you know, I mean, I've talked with people and met with people. I know they're false teachers. They're so charismatic. I love them. No, can I buy you lunch? Yeah, serious. They're just so, you just love being around them. They have that demonic anointing, okay? See, if you think the devil is ugly, you're wrong. He was one of the most beautiful of God's creations. Are you listening to me? We must be wise in this generation that is falling apart, loved one. No, he says they want to devour you. Think about that. You want to tolerate that? You want to tolerate being devoured? You know what that word literally means? It means to be eaten alive. Your whole being. In other words, in 1 Peter 5:8, what does Peter say? Be sober, vigilant. For the devil, who is like a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour, resist him steadfast in the faith. Amen? What is it? James 4:7 says, submit unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That word flee means he will run in terror. No, he says, these false teachers, what are they going to do? The cost of compromise, Paul is telling them. He says, they're going to devour you. Not only that, look at the next one. They take from you. That word in the Greek really means to take as prey. It's not just taking their money, not just ripping them off and fleecing them. You know, if you'll just send in $100, you'll have a new home next week. You know what I mean, that kind of stuff. No. In other words, here it means to prey on them so they will no longer be free to fleece the sheep. Without the truth, Jesus said in John 8:32, my life scripture, you shall know the truth will make you free. But if you don't know the truth, you can't be free. Did you know that? It's a truth that you know and apply. And that's why the word of God is so important. But look at this next one. Exalts himself. Boy, I'll tell you, if you want a picture of the wicked one, there he is. That is a picture of the devil, just like Satan, exalting himself. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says this about the devil, the Antichrist. It says, oh, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, but he isn't God at all. That's what he wants. Oh, loved one, listen. Look at that last one. Strike you on the face. Can I ask you a question? Would you allow someone to devour your children? Would you allow someone to eat up alive your children? Would you allow someone to put your children in bondage? And then that last one then, strikes you on the face. That doesn't mean a slap. The Greek for that means they're going to skin you. They're going to skin you alive. The cost of tolerance. Loved one, look back with me to verse 3, which is a key scripture in our text. Paul says once again in verse 3, but I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What an incredible warning then and for us today. Again, remember that simplicity just means that singleness of heart, that dedication, that devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief cometh to steal and to kill and destroy. Satan does that in many, many different ways, okay? I mean, his main goal, though, when we think of the word destroy, I think we get mixed up on it. Steal, kill, and destroy. His main goal is not when we say to destroy. For example, if the devil walked through the building right now and came up to me and says, I'm the devil, okay, I know who you are, I know what the Word of God says about you. And he said, you know, I have come to kill you. I have come to steal from you. I have come to destroy you. Now, does that mean that he wants me to fall on the floor dead? No. You'll see, Satan is merciless. Oh, he wants you on the floor, but he wants you alive. He wants you on your knees to him, but he wants you alive. Does that make sense? And he wants you to suffer, but he wants his foot on you as you suffer to hurt you a little bit more. See, that's what he wants to do. So when we think about Satan who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, what does that mean? The main goal of Satan is not to destroy humanity. I hope you don't think that, because that's not his main goal. His main goal is to have humanity, every man, every woman, every boy, girl, under his dominion. What does that mean? He wants your worship. He wants the devotion that you give to Christ. He wants it. Do you understand that? See, that's what he wants from all of us. Remember the face-to-face meeting that Jesus had? He was baptized. The Spirit that came upon him like a dove. And then the Spirit of God led Jesus into the what? Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And that's where he went. Now listen, after a few of the temptations, then the devil said this to him. Listen carefully, Luke 4:5. Then the devil, taking Jesus up to a high mountain, showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, oh, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I give it to whomever I wish. Anybody I want. Who gave it to him? Adam and Eve. Amen? Now listen carefully. Therefore, Jesus, if you will worship me, if you will worship before me, if you will fall on your face right now, a real temptation. I don't need 30 minutes. I don't even need 1 minute, 5 seconds, 3 seconds. Get on your face. Now, you don't have to go to the cross. He says, and all of it, everything, the world, the title deed to the world, you don't have to go to the cross. I just want your devotion. Just 1 second. Get on your knee, and it's all yours. You better wake up. You better wake up. We live in a time when the church is in slumber, living any way they please, abusing the grace of the living God. I tell you, Satan. You said, well, Bill, he's been stripped of his power. Yes, he has. He defeated on the cross. He no longer has the power of death and all of that. I know who has the keys of Hades and death. Amen? But let me ask you a question. Is he still able to blind the minds of those who do not believe? Yes. Is he still able to have a firm grasp upon this world because he's the God of this age? Yes. 1 John 5:19, we know that we're of God. Thank God for that. But the whole world, the people in the whole world, those that don't know Christ, truly knowing, lie in the sway of the wicked one. Let me read the revised version of that, by the way. It says, we know that we're of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. He holds the world, the people of the world, unconscious in his arms. Why? Why? Because mankind, when they come into this world, they are born in sin. They are born in Adam. They are born fallen. And you know what type of attitude a fallen person has? The same attitude that we used to have. We want to live independent from God. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I can live any way I want to, do anything I want to. I make the rules. That's what Satan offered Eve. You can make the rules. You can be like God. Come on, eat it. Just eat it, Eve, and go get your husband. Listen to me. I look at that and say, oh God, what does that do? Do you know whenever the fallen people, that gives the devil the greatest ally he could ever even think of having. What ally, Bill? The heart. Because he knows man is fallen. See, Satan knows that he has the unbelievers under his authority. He loves to work. He energizes the flesh of dead people because people are, even though they're alive, physically alive, they're spiritually dead. They're under the sway of the wicked one, whether they know it or not. Okay? That's just the way it is. But what about you? What about me, the Christian? I love Alan Redpath, the old man. He's gone home now, but let me read what he says about the devil and what I'm talking to you about this morning. The attack of the enemy, the devil, against the Christian is against our relationship with Jesus Christ. Satan is not primarily concerned to make the Christian descend into moral filth. Oh, no. For in fact, that would rather defeat his object. The devil, he's concerned to make the Christian fail in prayer. He wants to make the Christian bankrupt in his testimony, defeated in his spiritual life. He wants to make the Christian deprived forever of being a channel of communication to God's principle as light unto this world. Satan hates us. He hates you. He hates me. Why does he attack the Christian? Because we are the only people on this planet who are partakers of the divine nature of the living God. Amen? We're co-heirs with Christ. He hates Jesus. He hates the church. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Loved one, listen, how does he do it? Well, first, we've already learned he attacks by how? He gets false teachers teaching the doctrines of demons. There's many in Fort Worth, whether you know that or not. He also attacks the mind. We learned that in chapter 10, verses, I think, 3 through 6. Remember where it says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God through the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? And everything that exalts itself against the word of God. We come against that. Satan wants to hold every mind hostage because he knows that thoughts control people's lives, the operating system of our body, if you will. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So he uses those false teachers. He uses the mind. But there's one that is so heartbreaking to me, and I see it so prevalent today, more so than I've ever seen it ever in my life. And it's that he appears as an angel of light. You know what that really means? It means that the father of all lies, the father of every false religion, the wicked one himself who despises goodness and things that are light and love and all of that, he perverts those things. He has a gospel, and it appears so lovely to so many in our world, in every generation. And you know what his gospel is? That is so received more than even Christians. That gospel that is received is this. He offers mankind, in every generation, a way of life without the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he does. That's what he is doing. Loved one, listen, the devil's disguise, the devil's masquerade is a religious spirit. He wants to be in the church. He wants the word of God watered down. He doesn't want people to really believe. He wants you to believe that you can be a grace abuser or you don't have to ever serve God. You never need to discover your gift. And you certainly don't ever need to be an ambassador for Christ. Don't ever bring and pull anyone out of darkness because they're going to go to hell forever and ever and ever. Don't take away hearts from me, the devil says, that are devoted to me, even though they don't know it. Don't take that away. Oh, no, you're not going to steal that from me. I'll keep them bound. I'll keep them in chains as long as I can. I'll keep the Christian quiet. I'll make them a bunch of sissies who stay in the pew and never do anything. Are you listening to me? We're living in the worst darkness in the history of our nation. If you're not an ambassador of Christ, why not? If you're not winning the law, how many people won people to Jesus this week or told people about the Lord? Oh, God, listen to me. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, and the devil loves that. Yeah, that's right. That'll work. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but it only leads to death. That's the devil's doctrine for sure. Many ways to God. You're a good person. Loved one, listen to me. I know you're saying, Bill, you're acting like the devil's more powerful than God. Oh, stop it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, God is faithful. The wicked one touches you not. Amen? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, what is it, 2:11, that we, the church, the depository, if you will, of the mind of Christ, says we're not ignorant of his devices, are we? Are we? We're not ignorant of his devices. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The cost of tolerance. You listen to me now. If you must, believer, you must. We are heading in a time the whole world is upside down. We're not turning it upside down. The devil is turning it upside down. The cost of tolerance. Christian, you must, your children, your teens, you must put on the armor of God. And if you don't put on the armor of God, you might as well say, I now will have to put up with the devil. That means tolerate, tolerate. The Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God. It says in Ephesians, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. And put on the full, not just part of it, the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the strategies or the methods or the plans of the wicked one. For we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, stand. And having done all to stand, put on your girdle, put on your belt, the belt of truth. Amen. If you don't know God's word, you're going to be in trouble. That's what holds all the pieces of your armor together is truth. Put on that belt of truth right now on your chest. What do you put on your chest? The breastplate of righteousness. In other words, you have to know that you are the righteousness in God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your sins are forgiven. You're justified. You're declared innocent. And the devil, what does he do? He tries to make you feel otherwise. You're not going to make it. Yes, I am. Why? I know what my breastplate is. It's armor. Shut up. I will not tolerate you. I will not tolerate the wicked one. Do you hear me? Are you getting it, what I'm saying? Don't tolerate that. There's a cost. There's a cost if you do. If you tolerate him, you're going to pay for it. It's just that simple. When God has given you the armor to put on your body, you gird up your loins with truth. You put on the breastplate of righteousness, loved one, and then you shot your feet with a gospel of peace. That Roman soldier's, remember how it was? They had all those little studs on the bottom. So, man, you were like Ezekiel Elliott. You know what I'm saying? You could just hold your ground, jump over those barrels and people and everything. That's what that's all about. And above all, taking the what? Shield of faith by which you are able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. Oh, I won't tolerate you. I won't tolerate your lies. You can't touch my home and you can't touch my children ever because I believe God's word. I know God's word. And then I'm going to put on the helmet of what? Salvation. I'm going to protect my mind. How? By knowing the word of God. And then I'm going to do something else. I'm going to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now listen, that word is not logos on the page. It's rhema. It's the living word of God, the revelation in your heart. I know what God says. I believe what God says. You want to fight? I won't tolerate you, but I will cut you down to size. You'll not be bigger than anything that I'm facing. Are you with me? You have to know the word of God. And then praying always with all prayers and supplication. And it tells us how? In the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit of God. The cost of tolerance. Loved one, it's over. It is over. I'm telling you, we must. If we don't fulfill our calling, the next 10 years, you will see things in our nation. I may not be here then. You mark my words. You'll see a darkness, unless there's a revival, that you've never seen before. Never. It's time. It is time for the Christian to be the Christian. We come into these four walls to celebrate our Lord and to learn his word. We go out of those doors to change this culture and change people's lives. But it won't happen unless you go. It won't happen unless you fulfill your calling.
Thank you for listening with us today. And we want to remind you that Pastor Bill's 2 Corinthians series continues on tomorrow's program. And we look forward to seeing you once again. Be blessed and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our 3 services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org.
or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.